You're listening to the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Intercoastal Podcast. I'm Daquan Mickens, and for today's episode, we're going to be taking a journey to escape the ordinary with a place that houses multiple escape rooms here in Beaufort. Allow me to introduce our guests, Ravina Benjamin, the owner of the Every Second Counts, and Ricklin Lower, the marketing assistant. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I'm just glad to have you guys on the episode and glad to talk some escape rooms. But before I begin, Ravina, me and you have history and I worked at Every Second Counts and you gave me my first job when I graduated from college. So I wanted to say thank you for giving me that platform and starting my career outside of college.
You're welcome. And I really hope that you've learned some things while you were working at the escape room too.
Yes, I definitely did. I learned a lot about marketing, social media, of course. And then I, you know, got to interact with the visitors coming into the town, seeing their first experience of escape rooms. A lot of people did their very first escape room. I was there to brief them and get them ready for the escape room on their very first escape room. So that was pretty fun. And then meeting people visiting Beaufort for the very first time, that gave me an open door to, you know, attractions and tourism and everything that I can take with me moving forward.
Yeah. And the people that actually come in, they're great. Like, we have a lot of great customers, you know, whether they're local or, at, you know, out of the area. I mean, there's the people that come in are so nice. So.
Yeah. It's always good to see the people who do it. And then they're like, oh, I can't wait to come back to Beaufort to do Every Second Counts escape rooms. And
yeah.
See.
There's actually people that do that too. Like, they're like, oh, we come every year. It might be at Christmas time or whenever they visit, they usually will come back and do a different, try a different room.
Yeah. I think it's really cool. Especially the locals who are like looking like, oh, I can't, they're watching the Facebook, waiting for a new room to open, lining up, getting ready. I think you guys do a great job of engaging the community and the visitors.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's an amazing business to be in.
Yes. So let's talk about you, Ravina, and kind of your, we like to ask everybody about their Beaufort story and how they, you know, got to the Beaufort area. Could you elaborate, like, you know, your first time in Beaufort and what made you want to open up an escape room here in Beaufort?
That's a funny story. So originally I'm from the North, Pennsylvania, and my husband and I were looking for a home in the South. And that particular weekend, we went to the Savannah area and we're looking, you know, possibly in the Savannah area to buy a home. So my husband, being prior service, he was in the Marine Corps, and he had asked me if I wanted to drive to South Carolina. Well, we're already in Georgia. I'm like, no, not really. So long story short is I was like, okay, he's like, it's not far. It's like an hour across the border. I said, okay, well, let's go. So we end up, you know, driving through here, this little town of Beaufort. And as soon as we drove this town, I fell in love with these trees. They're absolutely amazing. And all of the houses, they're like all the antebellum style houses. They're just, it's just really a nice place to be. And I said, we're going to buy a house here. And we did. We bought a house here that year. So we ended up traveling back and forth for about 5 years. And then we permanently moved here about 8 years ago. So at that time, you know, I've always been in the entertainment industry. You know, I own and operate a party rental company in Pennsylvania. I've had that for 20 years. And this is just like something different to be able to, you know, provide for the people visiting Beaufort or even living here locally. There's not really a lot of entertainment. So, you know, the escape room was kind of like a way to go.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Maybe even like 5-6 years ago, even as it's growing now, there wasn't a lot for people to do when they came to Beaufort. It was pretty much beach and then go home. So people like you opening companies, looking for attractions for people to do, it actually helps the area grow and gives people something to do.
I think the most important thing is fun. Like, a lot of people like don't realize like how fun it is. Like, we hear a lot of laughter in the mm-hmm. rooms. I mean, oh, yes. Daquan, you know this. We could be in the office and you hear laughters in all the rooms and them hooting and hollering, especially if they're getting a lock open or something that they've completed successfully.
Yeah, I think so. It allows people to engage with each other in different ways that they are normally used to. Whether, you know, if you go to the beach, people are pretty much quiet or they'll just sit out and relax or read a book. It's not engaging and actually, you know, communicating with people and actually having conversations.
Yeah. Using your mind, brain, working together, you know, working, even if it's like families too, like families working together, communicating, and you really do see how well that they do, you know, work together as either a family or it might even be a a company team building event too. You see, you know, who might be the stronger link on the team. So, but yeah, it is really interesting. And the most important aspect is they got to put those phones away for an hour.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the hard part with Tom now. People don't typically put the phones down. So I appreciate what escape rooms gives people. They let them put the phones down. They actually communicate and they interact. And that gives us a great pivot point. Speaking of team building and communication, why should everyone try an escape room at least once in their life?
I personally feel like you really get to spend time with people. So I think that's important. It's fun. It's something fun to do. And you really have to use your noggin too.
Yeah. Other than like just a challenge, it gets, even if you don't like challenges or puzzles, it really gets family involved. We see a lot of families come in and
corporate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And corporate. And even if the dad or mom's not so interested, they get enjoyment out of seeing their kids really figuring things out and going through the room.
Yeah. I know we are talking about family rooms and, you know, having everybody from families come out. So what are the age limits for the different rooms?
Right now we take them on the 60-minute rooms, they can be 9 and above. So we take them at 9 years old or above. And then the 75-minute room, they do need to be at least 13 years or older to get into that room with an adult.
Okay. And could you give us some insight on the different type of rooms you guys have and the different rooms people can experience? And do you guys rotate rooms throughout the time period?
You know that we do, Daquan. So, yeah. So right now, I think we're at, we just released actually 2 within the last year. So, but that would probably, our snatch room we just opened up. I'll tell you about that. It's pretty interesting. That would have been our 14th built in 6 years. That November will be 6 years. So we built quite a bit of rooms in that time frame. But right now we have running 6 different themed rooms. So we have, I mean, the Wizards Academy is really popular. It's like a Harry Potter type theme room. Mm-hmm. It's really magical too.
Yeah. A lot of people like that, especially the kids.
Yes.
Going back to the family unit, kids really like that. And even, what are they called? Potterheads.
Yeah.
Like
the Potterheads.
I love Harry Potter because it's based on the Chamber of Secrets. And I had never watched Harry Potter until I started working there. And you can really see the detail put into that room based on that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we do have the Wizards Academy. We have the Lost Cabin. And then we also have the Cursed, which is fairly new. It has more of a Louisiana feel to it with a witch doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The Asylum is our longest running room, and it's definitely a challenge. It's the hardest, 10 out of 10. People love the challenge on that. Sometimes they'll do it more than once. And then we also have a Christmas theme room still in. Actually, that will be coming out in July. So it'll take us down to 5 rooms at that time. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and we have the shipping container. We have the snatch. Yeah, that one's neat because you feel like you're stuck inside a shipping container and it's a heist. You need to be able to heist the things out of the shipping container. It's used art and music memorabilia. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool because a lot of people think, oh, an escape room is just like, okay, you go into this room and, oh, you got to solve these puzzles. But you guys do a great job of making it interactive. And it's like, oh, not your ordinary escape room. We're, you know, making you think you have to escape a shipping container while you're in here, or we're applying wizardry and you have to find the Chamber of Secrets and figure your way out. So I think you guys do a great job of implementing different ideas. And speaking of different ideas, could you take us through the thought process of beginning and ending an escape room, like how you guys come up with the idea and, you know, build it out and, you know, beginning to end, if you could.
Well, that's a common question. I think it's even written down. We have this written down. Oftentimes, you know, the groups will come in and they'll ask, do you buy them or do you build them? Or whose mind is this that does all of this? So, you know, we come up with a theme and then we put the story in place behind that. And then after the story is in place, we have to figure out the puzzles that are going to go with that storyline. So our escape room is very particular that the puzzles need to match the room. They got to match the room. They got to match the theme. You don't want, you know, music notes and a bank heist, you know? So for us, it's really important to match the puzzles, you know, and it, it I always hate to say the word puzzles because it's kind of like, but that's what it is. I mean, it's not like a piece to a puzzle, but it's definitely a puzzle where you got to figure out the challenge, you know, to get something open or move forward. But at that point, I use a block diagram and I start putting a whole bunch of ideas down. And at that point, we build myself and my husband. I ask him if it's possible to build it, you know, and I don't think he ever said no yet. He usually tries to accommodate like what I'm looking to build. So, you know, I'll pretty much come up with the ideas. I do take the staff into consideration if they have some really, really good ideas too, whether it's before, after, or during the design. Sometimes we have to adjust after the design is complete. We might have to, you know, remove something or make it easier for the players. And then, you know, it can take anywhere from 6 months to a year to build out a room. So yeah, it's definitely, I think that's the hardest part. Like we can put everything down on paper, but to initially, you know, get all of it done, it does take a while. And a lot of the staff do help too. They'll help with like the small details, like the painting and stuff. If we have something that's kind of daunting that takes a little while, we have some staff that does really well with like the, you know, if it's something painting related. Sometimes I have the artist from outside come in to the escape room. There's a local artist that we use. His work is amazing. So he does really, really good, like big wall murals. I mean, the chamber has, it's crazy. Like how that wall is, you'd have to see it. It's unbelievable. The work that he does as well. That's something I outsource. I can do a lot being creative, but drawing isn't one of them. So it does take a little bit of time to get them up and moving and the room's running. But once we have them up and going, I mean, a lot of people are interested in what we just released.
Yeah, I think you guys do an amazing job, and credit to you guys, because it's a lot of hard work. Like not only to actually plan out something that starts in your head, but to actually make sure it runs well, everybody can come in and enjoy it, and it's a unique story. Credit to you guys. So when people come in, they know like, oh, this came from the owner and it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, we don't, like I said to you earlier, that was a common question people do ask. You know, we don't buy them. We don't go to, you know, of course we do escape rooms, you know, as a family, but we're not going to other escape rooms, stealing their ideas and implementing them back into our own, you know, mm-hmm. into our own escape room. Everything that we do, you know, is stuff that's done by myself or, you know, Maurice or my staff will help, you know, throw in some ideas. So it's just kind of neat.
So I know you guys are escape room enthusiasts and you love to do escape rooms. So if you could give the audience your favorite escape room outside of Every Second Counts, and then also give them your favorite Every Second Counts escape room.
I would have to say my favorite one that we have is the Criminally Insane Asylum. I haven't done the room, but it's very scary and very difficult for groups to get through. And it's always fun to watch through the cameras at people trying to solve it. And when we start the room, we kidnap you. So we put you in straitjackets and handcuffs and blindfold you. And people really seem to enjoy that. Not for me personally to go through it, but it's definitely fun to watch people. And I love the design aspect of it.
I think 70% of people like being scared. That's why we built something like that.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm not part of that percentage.
What about?
So not one of our rooms. My husband and I did one in Myrtle Beach that was Scooby-Doo themed. And we love Scooby-Doo. We grew up watching Scooby-Doo. And we even have a Great Dane. So just really going with the theme there.
That would be an Escapology. They're the only, yes. That's a chain company. Yeah. They're the only ones who have that there. Okay. But I think, for me, if I want to start backwards, I will say I've done an escape room. I've done multiple down in the Florida region, but we did this one. I don't remember the name of the escape room, but I definitely remember the room. It was called Bros for Life. It was like, it was like a fraternity, and they like stole like this champion cap or whatever like that. So, I mean, it was really, really cool. I mean, it had some really neat features in regards to solving the different rooms built inside. So I really liked the Bros for Life. I thought that was really cool. I think it's pretty popular. And I think in regards to Every Second Counts escape rooms, I have like two favorite rooms. The first one would have been the pirate theme room. It was called the 1710 Tavern, and it had to do with Beaufort's history about the pirates being here. So I was able to build the room, but not only build the room, learn the whole history. So we could tell a little bit of people about the history on the back end when they were completed with the room. So I really did like that tavern feel to it. And in fact, that old building still stands today down here in the downtown Beaufort area. The same building, the same building Blackbeard would have visited 300 years ago. And I think my second favorite is Area 51. It was all done in UV. So the whole room was decked out. The clues were in ultraviolet light. And it was a really neat concept. It was probably one of our most popular rooms when we had the Area 51 in the escape room.
Yes, those are great rooms. I was there at the time. Both of those rooms were open, and the people would just light up when they walked in. You guys do an amazing job of making it feel like it's a different place when you walk in. You don't feel like you're actually in a room. You actually feel like I'm on a boat, or I'm searching an old tavern, or I'm in Area 51, like, because all the lights are out and all I can see is like green lights lighting up everywhere.
Yeah, they feel immersed.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. You guys do a great job immersing everybody and making it feel real. And you kind of forget, especially when you're in there for an hour, you forget, oh, wait, this isn't real. I thought it feels like you're actually somewhere else.
And the time goes by so fast. We often hear that's the fastest 60 minutes of our life.
Yeah, everyone's trying to figure out things, trying to direct people, and you're working towards a goal. So going on working towards a goal, what's some advice you would give some first time escape goers, or someone who's not smart, who's like I am and not the smartest person in the room?
That's not giving yourself much credit there, Daquan. So, but I think the most important thing, and you know, Ricklin can also comment on this too, but I think the most important thing is to figure out if the rooms are linear or non-linear. I personally feel like linear rooms are frustrating because it's in steps. You got to complete the first thing before you can even move on to the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth. So guess what? You get to the first puzzle and you can't figure it out. You might be stuck on it for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Where nonlinear, you can move around. I mean, it's like you can solve multiple things, you know, at one time, but in the end, it all like comes together to be able to solve the room, you know, whenever you're ready to solve the room. But you could be working, everybody in the room could be working on different things. So I think that's important to find out, because you're really burning time if you don't know if it's a linear or a nonlinear room. And oftentimes, you know, we do the demonstration of the locks in the lobby, like what kind of locks are they? You want to make sure you know how to open the locks before you go in. And we have both. We do electronic stuff, a lot of tech things. And then we always incorporate the locks too. So I think that's important. And communication is the most important things, especially when we see the younger ones. Sometimes those kids are real agile and they'll get it and they'll tell the parents, hey, it's this and this. And they're like, no, no, no. They don't listen to
them. They wave them off. Yeah.
They just blow them off, you know? So, but sometimes the kids are, you know, when they're like, even like teenagers, 12, 13, it's important to listen to like everybody in the group. So like communication with listening is like really, really important. You know, if they're in there hooting and hollering, they're going to have a harder time solving the room. But Ricklin can comment too.
Kind of piggybacking off of what you said, I think a lot of people get stuck on a puzzle and they hyper-focus on one thing when it could be something else that they need in the room, but they're not focusing on looking for the whole picture and not just the one thing.
I think, you know, responding back to Ricklin too, is that that's one of the reasons why we build nonlinear rooms, because if they're stuck on it, we don't want them frustrated. We want them to be able to put the puzzle down or put the object down and move on and come back to it. So, or if they can't figure it out, give it to someone that might be able to figure it out. Like she said, so they're not hyper-focusing on one, you know, specific thing and burning time.
I think that's a good idea to have nonlinear rooms as well, because it gives everyone something else to do, and it everyone's not like, oh, we found this number, where does it go? Like, you can be like, all right, let's do something else, and then you open something else and be like, that number is why we needed that, bring the number over here. And that's kind of where I come in, because I'm the doer of the group. Someone's like, you do this, and I'm like, okay, I'll do that, or try this and enter this code, and I'm like, all right, I'll do that. I'm not the smart one to think it out and be like, let me figure out this part goes with this over here. So
I remember one of my first escape rooms, we were stuck on this puzzle. I mean, it literally was like 15 minutes and there were six of us in the group and it was a box and we had to get the box open. There none of us knew how to get the box open. And it was pretty frustrating because our time was just counting down. We didn't have a lot of time. And eventually, you know, we had to take so many clues that it was a carpeted room. You had to put the box on the floor and spin the box a specific way to get it open. But again, we couldn't move on to the next step because it was a linear room. We had to complete that step before we moved on. So yeah, I think there's a big difference between the linear and non-linear rooms, but overall, regardless if it's a linear room, they're still, escape rooms are still fun. Yeah. So yeah.
And then before we go, could you talk about kind of like the policies and the rules and kind of, I know a lot of things people ask do you actually lock us in the room? Can you kind of explain that and kind of explain the clues as well?
We don't actually lock you in the room for all of our 60-minute rooms. The only one that we physically lock the door to is the 75-minute room, our criminally insane. So if you ever need to step out, go to the restroom, take a phone call. In all of our 60-minute rooms, you are more than welcome to do that. Doesn't mean you escape just because you walked out the door, but you are free to do that.
The doors are all coded too. So it's a coded door. You feel like it is locked, but it actually, we have it reversed where they can walk out at any point in time. But I think that, So, I mean, in regards to our policies, certain rooms have different room capacities. And we usually ask the players to come about 15 minutes beforehand. I think the hardest thing, you know, sometimes that we might struggle with is our location. We always hear in Buford, like, we didn't even know there was an escape room here. So that can be challenging for us because it is a small town. Mm-hmm. And we're still trying to reach people that haven't heard, because with it being not only a tourist area, but it is a military town and people are coming and going all the time. So yes, people are moving in and moving out. So just bringing awareness that we do have some fun things here in Buford to do.
Yeah, I think you guys do a great job of, you know, letting the community know. And from the people who do the escape room, you hear it all the time. They're like, oh, I love the escape room. It's one of my favorite places to go here in Buford. And I can't wait to go again.
We just got to get them in the door. Once we get them in, they're definitely going to come back because they have so much fun.
Yeah, that's the thing, getting them in. And that's what we're here to do, to try to help get awareness out. So if you guys are listening, you guys love escape rooms, you've never done an escape room, every second counts, has you covered. This has been a fun episode, Ravina and Ricklin. Thank you guys for coming on the show and joining us and talking about Every Second Counts. Before we wrap up, can you tell us where we can find you guys, where you're located and what your social media is?
We're located physically on 22 Sam's Point Way, right by the Gray Coat and the Food Lion, right off of Sea Island Parkway. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook.
We're on Ladies Island. It's literally 2 miles from the downtown area. You just got to cross that bridge. Yep. So, I mean, come across that bridge. It's not that far from the downtown area.
No, it's not too far. You just cross the bridge and make a left and you're right there for some fun and escape rooms. Now, before we go, here's some information about the upcoming events happening in Buford. It's summer, and that means the 4th of July is coming up. You can enjoy the festivities on the Sands Beach as the town of Port Royal presents the 4th of July celebration. It's a great opportunity to experience food, drink, and music from 4 to 8, as they will have food trucks, fireworks, and fun. It's a great way to get out and enjoy the 4th of July. Bring your family, friends, and kids. Also, Salute from the Shore is back for 2023. Salute from the Shore is a unique opportunity for individuals, families, and friends to salute the armed forces flying over the entire South Carolina coast. It's a great opportunity to salute the troops and experience the great 4th of July festivities. For more information on this event or any other events happening in the Buford area, you can go to bufordsc.org/events for more information. Thank you all for listening to the Intercoastal Podcast. You can follow us on social media at visit_BufordSC on Instagram or at BufordSC on Facebook. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. We'll talk to y'all next time. This has been another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, hosted by Daquan Mickens and the team at Visit Buford Port Royal in the Sea Islands, produced by Relic.